Hi, this is Chris Jurgensen, and you're listening to the one, the only Bugcast.
Hi, good evening. It is Friday the 5th of December. It's about 9:15 and you are listening to the Bugcast episode 39. One more until a fairly decent landmark. Yes, welcome. And it is getting colder and it's getting much darker at night now. So, yeah, winter is definitely here and Christmas is only 3 weeks away, which is really quite scary. Chris Jurgensen introduced the show this evening. It was a little bit of a butcher from a track intro that he sent me a good few months ago now. But I do need introductions now from the next episode, which is episode 40. So what I don't know whether to do this way or not. What I was going to suggest is anybody at all, chuck an intro for episode 40 into the email or onto the drop. I'll play them all, but I'll pick the best one to introduce the show. So there you go, little challenge for you. Get your microphones out. Many thanks, as always, to the Dumbed Down Life guys for the use of their chat room and server this evening. And also, thank you to everybody who's joined me in the chat room this evening. We have got Ian, we've got Katie, we've got Matt. We did have Leonie, but I think she's crashed out again. Meebo being its usual reliable self. That first song was Trinity Lane and Strong For You, taken from the Podsafe Music Network. This week, I've got a heck of a lot to talk about today, so hopefully I don't go on too much. This week has been very eventful, both in work and in private life. And one of the things that's hit me the most this week is regarding my two children. Now, for those that don't know, I've got two kids, Amy and Cara. Amy's 3 years old, Cara's 18 months. And I've noticed, certainly in the last week or two, how strong a friendship, how strong a bond they're developing between themselves. And it's wonderful to see. Just to give you an example of the kind of thing I'm talking about, on a Wednesday and Thursday, Caroline works in the evenings. So when I get home, I phone down to the father-in-law, who the mother-in-law looks after the kids during the day. And then he brings them back one by one. They've only got one car seat in the car. So I'll phone down, get yarned at by the mother-in-law for a few minutes about what's been happening, where the car has had a nap during the day and such like. And then my father-in-law brings Amy back. And I'll go down the steps from the house and she'll see me and she'll go, "Daddy," put her arms out, come for a cuddle, and then says, "Oh, I'm cold, can we go inside, please?" And when we go inside, I'll put her down, I'll take her jacket off, take her shoes off, and she'll say to me, "Where's Cara?" And I'm saying, "Well, Cara's with Gran and Grandad." And she says, "So she's going to be home soon?" And I said, "Yes, she will. She'll be home soon." So we'll wait a bit, and then 5 minutes later, the father-in-law will come back with Cara. And I'll go down the steps again towards the car. Cara will see me and go, "Daddy!" Hold her hands out. She'll give me a big cuddle. And then she'll say, "Owie," which is her way of saying Amy. "Owie, owie." So Amy's inside. "Do you want to go and see her?" "No," which means yes. So we say goodbye to the father-in-law and we go into the house, and I'll take Cara's jacket off outside the living room. And Amy will be like, "Oh, is that Cara?" And Cara will say, "Owie, owie, owie." So I'll take her jacket off, take her shoes off, turn the chat room off, Dave, put her in the living room, and they'll be like, "Cara, owie, Cara, owie," have a wonderful cuddle, turn their backs on each other, and walk away. And they'll just play amongst themselves, sometimes together, sometimes not. That's one example. The second example is how they are in the mornings. Now, one will wake up before the other one, obviously, and wake up the other. So I think this morning, Amy woke up first, woke up Cara. Now, they're in different rooms at the moment. Oh, text message, thank you. They're in different rooms at the moment. And, you know, Amy will talk to Cara through the hallway, and Cara will just sort of babble backwards. Backwards? Back. And then one of us, if I'm working, then I would have already gone to work by this point. So Caroline will get up and get Cara and put Cara in Amy's room. And it'll be the same again. "Cara, ow." Sorry, "Cara, owie. Cara, owie. Cara, owie." And they'll just play amongst themselves for ages. And like when it's night time and Cara usually falls asleep first. Not always. No, she doesn't. It's about half and half. This is good. I'm telling a story and then contradicting myself. And they're just wonderful to each other, and I really hope they grow up to be the most amazing friends. They've certainly planted the seeds for it. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. Caroline passed me a news article. This is a print from The Sun. Don't get all excited. I've also read it on the BBC and also on another article, which was from the Times. And it's a place where I will not be taking the kids this Christmas. Okay, how do I read this? I'll read it from the top. A rip-off Christmas grotto was shut down yesterday as one irate employee yelled to children waiting at its gate, "Santa's gone home, he's effing dead." The Sun led calls for the Lapland theme park to be closed after thousands of kids were left disappointed and their parents out of pocket by the dismal attraction. After just 6 days of trading and more than 2,000 complaints, the shambolic park shut. This is the Sun's words, guys, not mine. The last straw came when furious contractors called the police after confronting the bosses about not being paid. A convoy of lorries, horse boxes and jeeps drove out from the muddy New Forest site yesterday, taking the forlorn reindeers, huskies and donkeys, which had been tethered up as part of the, open quotes, entertainment. A handful of families who had paid £30 in advance for each ticket stood waiting to enter. But a woman shut the gates, shouted, "Santa's gone home, Santa's effing dead." The Sun told yesterday how Lapland New Forest was expected to make ex-lag, whatever that means, Vic Mears, 65, and Brother Henry, 58, £2 million in 6 weeks. The park charged £10 for a photo of kids with Santa and £17 for five drinks and a baguette. Angry parents punched elves and Santa after queuing for hours. Now, we hear about dodgy places like this all the time. Corporate entities that are out purely to rip off the punters. Now, I'm not saying it's acceptable by any stretch. However, it happens, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, not until after the fact, anyway, until the damage has been done. But as a father of two, I think it's just callous for somebody to turn round in front of kids and say, "Santa's dead." Think about how many children who believe in Santa Claus, they're going to be going to this place with the express purpose of meeting him, because they believe he's true. In the minds of some people, adults as well, he is. But to be looked at and said, "Sorry, Santa's dead," I think is nothing short of bang out of order. Because, you know, kids will be affected by that. I know it's a trivial thing, I know it is, but kids will be affected by it, and well, I think it's disgusting. So thank you, Caroline, for throwing that one at me at the very last minute. Do you remember, it must have been, oh hang on, I can tell you when if you give me a second. I've closed the website, that's not good. A while back I was I found an MP3 file in the drop at drop.io/bugcast. Bugcast. And it was a file called O2 Jellyfish, and that was it. No more information than that. And I said, "I'd love to play it, but I don't know what it is, and I don't know whether it's Podsafe or not." Had I looked a bit more carefully, there was actually a text file in there that explained what the file was. Now, the file is a song called Jellyfish, and it's by a group called Ace of Space. And the file read as follows. Hang on. There we go. The file read as follows. 2008 has been a busy year for Ace of Space, with a collection of new songs culminating in Cluster, an album available both as a download and a limited CD. The track Jellyfish has featured on many top UK podcast shows, including Izzy Voodoo's Voodoo Quota Show and Rowley's Dark Compass and Made in the UK. Recently, the track received over 1,400 plays on MySpace in just one day. Mike Rowley from the Dark Compass podcast said, "An absolutely lovely old-school electronica sound." See what you think. Thank you.
Hey, this is...
She means it's Sonya, from anyone's guess, yeah. And...
Listening to Bugcast.
Come on.
Come on. All right.
You held my hand when I thought.
That song still sends goosey bumps up my back whenever I hear it. That was indeed Anyone's Guest and I Call You, and thank you also to the guys from Anyone's Guest for what I can only sort of describe as a cock-up of a bumper, which I think is wonderful. So thank you for sharing that with us anyway. Oh, excuse me. Indigestion. I shouldn't be eating dinner while I'm doing a podcast, should I, Mark? Where is Mark? No. Yes, and before that was Ace of Space and Jellyfish. I actually thought that was a good track. It was not... I don't think I've ever played an acoustic song. That's not the word I was looking for. Instrumental song in the show before. So, yeah, I like that. So, hope you did too. Am I turning into an eco-warrior? I don't think I am. I'm kind of stealing this as inspiration that was given to me by Lance on the Dumb Down Life episode 50 last night. When he did a very good talk on the current ecological situation of the world, use of energy and such like. Which our very own Leone was the guest presenter on that show last night, which is wonderful. And I wanted to mention about a gadget that I bought quite a while ago. Wasn't a long time ago. What am I talking about? It was about a couple of months ago. And the gadget is called Current Cost. I'll try saying that when you're drunk. And I'll put a link to the show notes on it. It's a wonderful little gadget that basically attaches itself to one of the cables that's coming into the house from the road. Don't worry, it just wraps itself around it. You don't have to connect to it or expose any live wires or anything like that. And a little box connected to the sensor measures the load, basically how much electricity you're using at any one time. Oh, sorry. I'm really sorry. Excuse me. And then you've got a little device that you can basically stick in any room. The thing's wireless between the sensor and the monitor itself. And it shows you, at a glance, pretty much instantly, how much electricity you're using at any one time. And it's measured in watts or kilowatts. And you can see, when you switch on a light, it tells you that your consumption's gone up by 60 watts. Or 240 if you're in our extension, and how much that is going to cost you more over a day, a month, a day, 7 days, and a month, and it's also telling you how much your current consumption is costing you if it was constant for a day, a week, or a month. And the reason I got that is because we're on a leaning spree to try and reduce our outgoings each month, and I thought it'd be a wonderful idea just to invest, I think it was 30 quid or something stupid, on this little device that hopefully would save us a hell of a lot more. And I find that I've been a lot more sorry, I just looked up and noticed that all three kitchen lights are on. I've been a lot more aware of the electricity that I've been using in the house, to the point now where I'll sort of turn off lights when I come out of a room, which I wouldn't do, but didn't do before. And just it's just a good thing to look at to see, oh, hang on a second, I've left something on. Now, when I come down in the mornings, I'm the first one up, and it's usually around about 6:30, and I'll check the monitor, and it normally says we're using about 300 or 400 watts, which is going to be things like the fridge freezer. The microwave on standby, laptops, telly on standby, all these things on standby, which I'm sure if I turned them all off, the whole thing would go down to zero and we'd be laughing. And on a good evening, it's normally about 500. Now, if Caroline's listening, what I'd ask her to do, actually, if you can just shout to me what the current consumption on the monitor is, then I'll let people know as a reference point. And when there was one evening, I think it was last week, when we had the oven on because we were cooking, and the washing machine was on, and it just happened to be heating up at the time, and the tumble dryer was on, and the Caroline said she can't see it, and the consumption was like seven. Oh, she's going to get off her bum now. About 7.5 kilowatts. Now that's a hell of a lot of electricity. When you think that the oven's probably going to be 2 kilowatt, I think the microwave's 1 kilowatt when you're using that. I don't think so. 97 kilowatts means we're actually powering the entire street. It's the very top one. Seriously? That's the top figure. 1.07 kilowatts, apparently. Can you turn the lights off, please? No, not that one. Oi. Thank you. Is the bedroom light on? No, that's fine. Anyway, 1.7 kilowatts. Now, 1.07 kilowatts, sorry. A kilowatt. Now, bearing in mind that a normal domestic light bulb is 60 watts. It's however many 60 watts are in 1,000. Right, 889 watts now, which means that everything's gone down by 889. No, you'll miss it. It's probably gone now. 889 watts, which is what, 120? It's about 120 watt drop, which means that the light bulbs in the kitchen are all 40 watts each. And yeah, it's made me a lot more aware of how much electricity we're actually using and abusing. I don't know why we're peaking at 800 watts at the moment. I can only presume there's some lights on elsewhere in the house that I can't see. 817 watts. Oh, apparently I left the bathroom light on, which probably isn't such a good thing either. But anyway, you get the idea. And no, I've not become an eco-warrior by any stretch. But just a simple little 30-quid gadget like that is making us a lot more aware of how much electricity we're using. Now, we're the worst for things that are on standby. I mean, at this precise moment in time, in use in front of me, I've got a desktop PC, a desktop monitor, my laptop, which is plugged into the mains. I've got the microwave on standby. I've got the fridge. I've got a lot of other things that I'm pretty sure aren't on. I've got a stereo behind me that's on standby. I've got a wireless router in front of me, which is flicking away. So that's live. I know there are two mobile phone chargers upstairs. We've got the Skybox DVD video. Don't ask me why we've got video. Sorry, the Skybox not on standby, but the other two are. We've got a Wii on standby. We've got a PS2 on standby. We've got a telly, flat screen telly that's on. There's a baby monitor, both upstairs and downstairs. That's a hell of a lot of things, and they all add up. And it's really quite scary. But also because of the number of, just changing the subject slightly, because of the number of miles I do a week, I'm clocking up roughly 500 miles a week. I'm getting through more than a tank of petrol a week. I'm trying to get that down. And my aim is to get down to a tank of petrol a week. Now, if I drive well, my economy is I can get 430 miles out of a full tank of petrol. Which is okay. I would expect 500. And that's what I'm aiming for. And what I'm doing to do that is, certainly now the weather's getting colder, I'm turning off the air conditioning. Because even when it's cold, the air conditioning does actually still do some work. And I'm also trying to level off my driving style. Because I tend to use the engine to get up to speed. Sorry, repeating the obvious, obviously, but I'll accelerate up in first gear, go to sort of 3,000 revs, change to second, by which time I'm probably already doing 20 miles an hour. So I'm not actually getting to fifth gear until I'm doing about 50 or 60. Now, I remember when I was driving, my driving instructor said to me, you should always change gear at the earliest possible convenience. And the general rule I picked up, and it's something that I picked up myself, it wasn't told, is that when you get to 10 miles an hour, switch into second. When you get to 20 miles an hour, go into third. Go into 30 miles an hour, go into fourth. 40 miles an hour, go into fifth. And I've been trying to do that, and it's been working so far. But I can't really see that much difference in economy on the car yet. So maybe I haven't quite got the economy right. One more thing before we move on to some feedback, and I just wanted to tell you a wonderful story. It made me smile because I was involved. You probably all know by now that I have a real issue with people that are ignorant and arrogant on the road. Now, I'm not the best driver by any means, and I'm pretty sure everybody on who's listening at this at the moment has heard me or seen me rant at some point in the past about people's driving styles. And I've got to tell you this one, that I'm sorry, it made my day. Junction 32 of the M1 is the exit for the M18. They've just redesigned that junction so that the on slip from junction 31 going northbound is the same lane that's the off slip for junction 32. So if you're coming up the M1 from further south, you go up, you wait to go past junction 31, then you get in the left hand lane to go off onto the M18. And I've seen a number of people who bomb it down the main carriageway and then cut in at the last minute. And if somebody cuts in front of me as I'm in the correct lane to go off the motorway, but leaves it to the last minute, cuts in front of me, I'll give them lights, and I've got no qualms doing that at all. But what happened? Was it yesterday or Wednesday? It was so good I've forgotten. It made my day, and let's use a polite word, pillock. Came up from the side. He was in lane one of the main carriageway. I was on the slip road. He was in lane one of the main carriageway. And there was a car in front of me and there was a car behind me. So manoeuvring ability wasn't that great on my part. And he came up and he shot past me, slammed his brakes on and started to move across. Now, it wasn't safe. Where he was, it wasn't safe for him to come across. So I hooted him to say, look, I'm here, can you see me? And he missed his turning. And I was so chuffed, because if I can make one person realise that just because you've got a flash car, yes, he was driving a well up there Mercedes, very, very high spec Mercedes. If I can make one driver realise that you cannot get around in this world by driving like a complete prat, then I'll be a happy man. Anyway, I thought that was good. Okay, we're going to go on to some feedback, and we're going to start... Oh, where am I? Oh, there we go. We're going to start as we... It's getting more and more, as we almost always do, with a voicemail from our regular correspondent, Leonie.
Hey-ho, me again. Well, I'm just coming down from the last night appearing on the Dumb Down Life, and I did sleep, although at one point I woke up and was awake for quite some time. Lots of things rattling around in my head, as you do. But, yeah, it was a nerve-wracking experience, I must admit, but I guess you must become accustomed to it eventually. Still, it was great of the Dumb Down Life boys to invite me on, and I had a good time, despite the nerves. Once I stopped shaking, it was great, I felt a lot better. Anyway, good show last week. I think my favourite track was the Hearts one, but then it was a cover version, so, I mean, that's always going to be the case, isn't it? But I added that to the list for the show 50 suggestions for Golden Podiversary song listing. And I think I've run out of things to say. So on that bombshell, all for now.
Now, at this point, it cuts off because Leonie tried to do a recording using a different method this time round. As you can probably tell by the voice quality, I haven't tweaked with it at all. And it limits it to a minute. So she got to 59 seconds and it cut out on her. Anyway, thank you, Leonie, for your voicemail. I am over the moon that you did this last night, that you co-presented the Dumb Down Life podcast. It's an awesome thing, and it's such a buzz. I remember I was actually going through with Phil from work yesterday, trying to remember which show it was that I did first live, and it was episode 24. And I remember coming out of that, and I was on such a high, and it was a wonderful feeling. I understand completely where you're coming from. And of course, it was. I had a big part in that, because if it hadn't been for me and I think it was Mark and Darren badgering you to do a voice recording for one of our shows, that you wouldn't have started doing that. And then I got you on the after show party last week, so I claim full credit for it, of course. I know I asked everybody to keep an eye on tracks that they want to put forward for show 50, but Leonie, I can only play 10 or so. So far, I think since episode 26, you've probably put 20, maybe 25 songs on this list. I can't play them all. But no, I just keep suggesting them. It's, I think the show 50 is going to be an awesome show. Right, let's go on to our last section of songs, and in keeping with the comedy theme, which I'm doing good on so far, this is The Great Luke Ski and Black Friday.
Big Thanksgiving dinner, after quite the feast, watch a little football and some home movies. Bedtime comes for families, every mom and pop. Alarm goes off at 4 a.m. because it's time to shop. Winter coats and wool hats, just in case there's snow. O'er the river and through the woods, to Walmart we go. Soon we'll be invading, busting down the door, led by all the hardcores who camped out the night before. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
Oh, what a joyous day, when our consumer culture comes together come what may. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
It brings us so much cheer, to help our nation's stores who have been in the red all year.
Excuse me, do you have any more of the exclusive Iron Man vs. Dora the Explorer playsets?
Whatever's out on the shelves is all we have.
You're lying! Grab his leg!
New Nintendo system, just $100. So who cares if grannies will get trampled in the rush? Survival of the fittest at the shopping mall. Let there be peace on earth.
Get your hands off that Elmo doll, it's mine!
Black Friday!
Black Friday!
Sing sports to local news. Because your love is measured by the items that you choose. Black Friday!
Black Friday!
At Toys R Us it's keen. They never call it Black Friday around there, they call it green.
Be that half-price people or I'll rip your feet clean out.
Relax, what are we all so worked up over anyway?
How am I supposed to know? Jesus Christ!
The Bugcast. Because it's fun to charter an accountant and sail the wide accountant sea.
What you think that you see isn't real, isn't real.
Me out there with a gobble of pizza. That last track was Dano and What You Think, and before that we had quite an amusing, and I apologise if anybody was offended, by the great Lukeski and Black Friday. I could have played that last week, but it only appeared on the Podsafe Music Network today, so because I'm not really mastered in the art of time travel, I'm afraid you get it today instead. Okay, next week, the Bugcast episode 40 will be broadcast live on Friday the 12th. And I believe, from comments that I heard, Mark will be doing the random three on Tuesday the 9th, and Darren, Lance and Doug, hopefully, will be doing Dumb Down Life episode 51 on Thursday the 11th. Phil from work, who is conspicuous by his absence, he, as I said earlier, he's at the Experian Christmas do, and will probably end up with a sore head. I did ask him if his phone could stream internet radio, but he just looked at me. He asked me, what are we doing about Christmas? Now, I'm not 100% sure yet. I have an idea, which I'm not going to tell you, but there will be a show live as normal on Friday the 12th. There'll be a show as normal with a bit of luck on Friday the 19th, which will be episode 41. And then, I don't think I'm going to tell you, because I might surprise you. Just keep your ears out, keep your podcatchers and whatever else you use to pull the show down. And also Live Journal. Keep your eyes peeled. We'll see what happens. Next year, I thought I'd just do a pre-warning. Excuse me. That wasn't a burp, by the way. There'll be at least two shows appearing on this stream, on the feed, that will not look like mine. But they will be. Next year, I'm going to submit to present an episode of Amped, which is the review show of the Association of Music Podcasting. I have been submitting tracks to it, but I haven't hosted yet. But I will be putting my name down to host an episode of that in the near future. And they are suggesting that we add the show that we present to our feeds to get a bit of exposure for the show. Same also applies to the Made in the UK show, which I have been accepted as a contributor of. I haven't submitted any segments yet. However, for the show that I actually host, i.e. Top and Tail, that will also appear in the stream as well. So keep your eyes open for that one. Okay, if you want to get in contact with the show, you can do so in billions of different ways. Well, give or take. You can go to the Budcast drop at drop.io/budcast as Ace of Space did yonks ago, and I didn't realise. And from there, you can send Podsafe music, news articles you want me to talk about, voicemails, messages, anything you like. You can also call through on the traditional electric telephone, and the number is 020-8099-1550. You can drop an email to bugcast@thelovebug.org. Same applies there. You can send any files you like, intros, Podsafe music, bumpers, but also just send a basic, you know, textual message saying how much you love, hate, detest, despise, adore the show, entirely what you want. The show notes are at bugcast.thelovebug.org, and there you'll find links to all the artists that have played in this show, and also other things that we've discussed during the show. And you can also visit the MySpace, the show MySpace, at myspace.com/thebugcast. All of the music, no it hasn't, four of the tracks this week have been taken from the Podsafe Music Network, all except the song by Ace of Space, which was dumped in the Bugcast drop. Okay, well, that's it for another show. Thank you very much for being here this evening. Special shout out to everybody who's in the chat room at the moment. We have got Ian, Katie, Marcus. Thank you, Marcus, for coming along, and appreciate it, even though you turned up late, which is allowed. We've also got Matt. We've got musical Caroline, the lovely wife, who also turned up late, but she's kind of forgiven because she brought the dinner. And also Nick. I think Leonie's still around somewhere, but I don't think she's in the chat room at the moment. So thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you all in a week's time. Take care.